Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show. Hi, I'm Paul. I'll be your host this evening. I'm a host every evening, also pretty much. There are a couple that have been hosted by other people, but it really is a couple. And we are on episode 100 of Driving More Show, which is, I guess a kind of milestone. There's been many more shows than that because it used to be called the Hash Rugby Chat. And what we kicked off in 2017 with the during the Lions tour. So we've been going for a long, long time. But hey, since we've rebranded it, I've changed the name when New Zealand Sports Radio kicked off because we're going to have multiple different sports shows. So it's been called Driving More since then. So that's 100 episodes. So, tap them back. Well done. Keep it going. Big thank you goes to all the patrons or supporters of New Zealand Sports Radio. Because a couple of things have just come through the post. Yes, the Lumina webcam. The webcam reinvented, apparently. Well, there you go. Which is what I'm using right now. This one is for Stephen Harris. So thank you so much, folks, patrons who support us. You can see the link there at the bottom of the screen if you're watching. If you're not and you're listening to the podcast, it's patreon.com/NZSportRadio. So thank you, everybody who has helped fund the cameras for the shows. What we're going to talk about this week, predominantly the Super Rugby. Might have a quick touch on a bit of club rugby and what I've been up to this weekend. As well as running through a few news items that are on the old wires recently. Looking at it, Tony Brown is leaving the Highlanders at the end. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be running solo tonight because unfortunately Stephen Harris and Boa are both busy. And can't join me, and all the rest have flaked out as well, lightweights. Anyway, Tony Brown will be leaving the Highlanders at the end of the season when his contract comes up for renewal. They've said they're looking internally and externally, and Clark Dermody has confirmed his interest in that role. So we'll see who takes over down at the Highlanders. Obviously, a tough season for them this year, even if they did pick up the win at the weekend. Tony Brown come around under a bit of criticism, and someone that I personally think is a fantastic coach and was kind of an excellent Wayne Smith of his generation. So had someone I thought should be in the All Black setup as an assistant coach, but we'll see if that ever happens on that side of things. On a kind of a more local front, Simon, good evening. Great to have you joining us. Just told us that Rotorua will not be hosting any NPC matches this year due to delayed groundworks due to COVID. I'll be honest, Rotorua is not my favourite stadium because it's so cold in that one. So I'll be honest, not too upset about that one. But it will be interesting to see what Bay of Plenty do because their ground in Tauranga, which I assume they're hosting all of their games at the Candu, doesn't have any floodlights. So basically, They can't do Friday night games or Saturday night games for that matter. So we'll see how that impacts Bay of Plenty's games and scheduling this year, whether they have to go somewhere else for games. So I'll keep an eye out for that. Hopefully that you guys know, I'll give an update next week on that one. Bay of Plenty is one of the NPC provinces that I, and Farrah Palmer Cup provinces that I cover, along with Waikato, counties Manukau, Auckland, North Harbour and Northland. So yeah, your money also, or support also helps Kebe Petrol get around those games as well. So obviously a shame for Simon who lives in Rotorua, but I say not my favorite stadium because it's so cold in that stadium. In other news then, the Fiji and and Australia have had a women's test match. The first test match for the Warriors in 956 days. And with the Rugby World Cup coming up, boy, oh boy, do they need some game time. They beat Fiji 36-19 in this one. Remember, Fijiana beat the Waratahs in Super W. So a decent or a good challenge for them to kick things off. They've got Japan before they head into the Pacific Fours with New Zealand, Canada and the USA. They're being held here in New Zealand. Hopefully I'll be getting along to those games. I need to apply for my media access to those games in Tauranga, Auckland and Whangarei on that one. Simon also points out some news around the Black Lions from Georgia who have won the European Super Cup. So congratulations to them beating a team from Portugal 17-15. And there's also been other European action going on as the quarterfinals of the European main European competitions have been taking place, with one of them even ending in a draw after extra time, meaning that it was a penalty goal shootout between the two sides to lose. And I've gone blank as to who the other team was now. I'll be honest, not been following the European competitions too closely this year, but those are reaching the pointy end. I did have a friend get in touch via via Twitter on the old DMs. The DMs on Twitter at Driving Maul are open if you want to get in touch. Ask me why were the Chiefs being so inconsistent this year? And we've been talking about that, about the level of Super Rugby this year, how it might not be at the or especially during the early rounds, not at the stands we've seen from previous years, a lot of that comes down to, well, the number of players that are being used. There was an article in Stuff saying that the Hurricanes have used 50 players this year, including 9 hookers. Moana have had 50 players in. I think they've played 48 or something like that was the their fault for that one. It is a lot of players that have been used well beyond the 37, 38 that you have that they're allowed to have in an actual squad, who are fully contracted players. So players coming in who haven't done pre-season, haven't been around the squad, so hence there's going to be less connected, not as joined up and play. And yeah, they are going to look and be less consistent. Sorry for those listening on the podcast, having a drink of beer there to join my chats. The other point is also around the age of these players. Super Rugby squads are very young with very little experience. If we take the Chiefs squad, for example, we're like, oh, look, they've got 3 All Blacks locks. They do. Brodie Retallick, who's 30, just 30, Va'ai, and also Josh Lord, Topu Va'ai, that is. Of the other 4 locks that are in there, along with Brodie Retallick, the oldest one is 23. Very little experience at all. And if you look through their squad now, I've not clicked on every single one to check all the ages, but I believe they've only got 4 players who are 30 or over. In Angus Ta'avo, Brodie Retallick, Sam Kane, and Brad Webber. And currently, Brodie Retallick and Brad Webber are injured. So it's a very, very young squad. As well, you compare that to someone like Leinster, For example, and again, I've not gone through all this to find out all the 30-year-olds, but you've got players like Johnny Sexton, players like Dave Kearney, who is still around, and a lot more players who are over 30 and have that experience. So when you do lose a couple of players, and have also been playing together for a long time, you're going to have that more consistency. You're not going to have the same problems that these Super Rugby teams have, which are they're very young. They're going to be inconsistent as the players learn about how to put out consistent performances themselves, never mind as a team. About Topu Va'ai, it's against an All Black, but he's only had like two seasons of Super Rugby under his belt. So being a full-time professional. So these players have got a lot to, you're going to get inconsistent performances from them because so many players do obviously now go overseas from New Zealand at a younger age. It's not just the guys who are in their 30s. You've got people, players who are in the mid-20s who are going. Hopefully got the mutant time for that cough there. The experience in these squads is very young. Now, there are some players who come back and come back into the squad. Evans down there in Highlands, for example, Hickey, who's playing for the Crusaders. On the whole, it's young players coming through and part of that talent. Thing that, that churns through these players, but it doesn't mean that they are very young. And there isn't necessarily the same, level of experience within these squads and for the younger players to learn from as well. So, as Simon says, the Super Rugby could turn into basically a development competition for the richer leagues around the world in Europe, well, the Viva Premiership, which is the top 14, also the top league in Australia, in Japan, and maybe even Major League Rugby in the States as well. So what I hope to do is to go through the Super Rugby squads and sort of figure out their ages of those squads, and you can see how young they really are. Anyway, let's get on to the weekend's games then. And we kicked off on Friday night with the Blues versus the Rebels. As you already probably know, this one finished 71-28, an absolute display of rugby from the Blues, and that's after going down 14-0 in the first 6 minutes. Obviously, a line-out mess up and then an interception gave those two tries to the Rebels. So it wasn't like the Rebels had constructed those tries. Sure, they'd have to be applying the pressure to get those mistakes, but still, they came from the Blues' mistakes, and the Blues tidy things up from there. Within 40 minutes, it was 14-all. I remember tweeting out during this game, wow, it's gone boring. We've not had a try for 6 minutes. And this was packed with scores, particularly in that first half. So the Blues ran away with it from there. You can really see it in just their ability to run with the ball. The average metres per carried for the Blues is nearly 6 metres, where it's just three or under three for the Rebels. So twice as much per carry you get in meters by the Blues, and they carried it more as well. So even though in that second half the Rebels had 60% territory and 52% of the possession, still they weren't doing as much with it as the Blues were. Hat tricks for Rico Wani in there. And this was a weekend for hat tricks. When we look at the Crusaders and the Hurricanes also putting up big scores, but the biggest one of the weekend was by the Blues in that 71-28 there. So, yep, look, the Rebels are improving, but when they're up against one of the top teams in this competition, which are basically your Blues, your Crusaders, Hurricanes, and Blues, Crusaders, Brumbies, Chiefs, they were never going to be in this competitive in this one. So well done to the Blues, one of the best performances they put together for a very, very long time. Talia's finish was particularly good in the corner. When I watched it in real time, I thought he put it down the line, but when it was slowed down, great try there. He's also just done an interview on the Wasserlad podcast, To listen to him and how focused he is on his rugby is really impressive. There are other players, you listen on to that when you think, yeah, you're not that professional. Sure, you're paid to play rugby, but some of the stuff you do doesn't necessarily, but he looks really, he sounds very, very focused impressive person from listening to that that interview. And good to see him finishing there. He's finishing that try there. But interesting of South African and Samoan descent. So dad from South Africa, mum from Samoa, but a Kiwi being brought up in New Zealand. The Blues now, actually now I've got it wrong, because it's the Crusaders who are now heading over to the Brumbies. It's not the Blues. The Blues go to Canberra in 2 weekends time, don't they? This coming weekend they host the Reds, who, let's be honest, coming off the back of that loss to the Highlanders, 19-27, they're in a bit of trouble right now. Now, clearly missing Topu, the prop, who's a fantastic player, but he's out for the rest of the season. Missing James O'Connor as well. They're missing key personnel. Again, a young side, missing key personnel, in trouble. But this is one that really got away from them. A yellow card, or two yellow cards for the Highlanders, both of which could have been reds, to be honest with you. The referee really looking to find reasons to downgrade them. Was it shoulder to shoulder, and then was it shoulder and then shoulder to head with the contact? Anyway, there's no arms in it. So that could have been the first one could easily have been red. Second one, the tip tackle. The only reason that guy doesn't land on his head is because he puts his arms out and saves himself. So two times there where he could very easily have gone red instead. Reds quickly took advantage of that and got themselves 5-0 up, but didn't really take full advantage of having those two men two men up in this one. They pulled out a 12-0 lead. Emmanga Jensen got the Highlanders back into this, and it was 12-10 at half time. So I think the Highlanders have been very happy with that, just trading 2 points with those two yellow cards. And then in the second half, Reds scored first, the Highlanders came back to win it 19-27. So a real bit of magic by Fakatava to put Gregory in. Lovely inside pass there, some magic hands. Well done for the Highlanders. Not one that I expected, to be honest, even with the Reds missing those players. But I think the Reds are going to struggle for the rest of the season, which basically leaves the Brumbies as the only contender for them in this one. Looking at some of the stats, and the stats are pretty even between the Reds and Highlanders. It just came down to execution and taking your opportunities in this one. The Highlanders will make I think they will get into the playoffs, especially with that win now under their belts. They've got some easier kind of run in from now on. They got the Western Force at home, followed by the Waratahs at home, and then away to the Rebels. So three games that they could very definitely win to finish things off. They've played the hardest of the Australian sides, and as they have the perfect run in to keep themselves in the playoffs, possibly traveling in the quarterfinals, so away from home, but at least they'll be there. Moving on then to Saturday, and I was driving for this one between the Moana and Waratahs, heading over to Hamilton for the Chiefs game. But Moana bash over and are up 17-0 after 20 minutes. But the Waratahs come back into it. So it's only 17-14 at halftime. Moana really would have wanted to sort of stretch that lead or not, at least not give up so much of it. Then in that second half, Moana, 70% of the territory, it's all played in the Waratahs' half. Sure, it's about 50-50 possession, but they're playing in the right end of the pitch. But the tip tackle, again, another yellow that could have been red by Fanganuku, and then he couldn't get over to score the try. And whilst he was off the yellow card, the Waratahs scored two tries on the wings, and that basically wins the game for the Waratahs, 20-26. A game that, yes, Moana, they got away on them. Basically, this was one that they definitely were in it and definitely could have got the win. 14 turnovers to 9 doesn't really help them. Didn't help themselves, but it really was those two tries during the yellow card where the Waratahs won this one with only 30% territory in that second half. Clearly, when they got into the Moana's half, they got the points and got the job done quickly. So, well done to the Waratahs, the most surprising team this season, and with no wins last year, definitely picking up the most improved team in the end of season awards, you've got to say. After that, we had obviously the Chiefs versus the Brumbies, and I've realised I've not uploaded the two videos that I'm going to play you, because obviously I was there for this one, where the Brumbies put on a fantastic show of how to manage a game, use scoreboard pressure to your advantage, and really control a game. So let's hear from the Brumbies from the post-match interviews. He says, trying to bring it up.
Damn it, for the bouncing Kiwi sides, how satisfying was that one against a very good Chiefs team at home?
Yeah, you said it, very good side, a lot of respect for them, and just pleased, it was a tough, we played last Sunday against the Hurricanes, tough game, and then, long trip over here to Hamilton from Canberra. Anyone who's done it will tell you that it's a difficult trip, but just pleased with how we focused on our recovery, nailed our detail, and went out there and executed our plan really well.
What was the key to putting this game away? Because they never certainly went away in this one. So what was the key to burying them in that second half?
I think in these games you've just got to win the physical contest, and we did that. That was the reality. There's no rocket science. You just got to front up, roll your sleeves up, and in attack, carry hard, make sure you're accurate and urgent on your clean out, and defensively look to dominate through the collision area as well. But I thought our kicking game tonight through Whitey and Lonners was world class.
Nick, how important to use this as a launching pad for a big couple of weeks against the Crusaders and Blues for you guys?
Yeah, definitely. It was good to come over here. Obviously, we knew the hard work was going to be in to get a result out there, and we certainly know we've played a game against the Chiefs. And yeah, it sets us up to go home. Like, we're going to have to go up again. The Crusaders and Blues, it doesn't get any tougher than that. So we're in a good spot, but no illusion of to what sort of hard work we're going to have to go through over the next couple of weeks. But we'll go home. As Dan said, the travel, short turnaround again. We'll recover well and know that we've got to. Yeah, it's awesome to go home and play these two sides at home.
You've got a bit of a reputation for always going for the corner, and yet in this game, equal number of tries, it was your penalties, four kicks over goal, which really kind of won it from a scoreboard point of view. Are we seeing a maturing of your kind of game plan and sort of managing the game from the Brumbies?
I think it's these games are a curtain raiser to finals footy, really, aren't they? And you've got to take the points when they're on offer. If it's round one or two, you probably kick to the corner and back on what we scored a more try tonight through Folau, but the reality is you've got to put scoreboard pressure on, and once we skipped out to 17, it was always going to be pretty difficult from there in that last 10 minutes. But I was really pleased with the decisions that we made and that maturity that we had within our decision making around when to take the corner and when to go for points.
Congrats.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
On the win and see you at Mount Smart in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you.
So, yeah, so I hope to be at Mount Smart for the Monarch Pacifica versus Brumbies game there. But you see that my question there for them around that, yeah, they do have the reputation for kicking to the corner. And we've seen it in the past that they just don't do that. If you want to watch the whole of the post-match interviews, then they're available over on patreon.com/EntersportRadio. You can watch them or listen to them as a podcast as well. For supporters, I've also included in there. So I did also ask Dan McKellar there about some words on Pete Samu as it was his 50th cap for the Brumbies. I also had a chat with him as well and with Pete Samu about 50 caps and what it meant to him. That's all available, I say, over there on patreon.com/NZSportRadio. But yeah, obviously very happy there. And look, they talk about needing that physical confrontation and their kicking as being key parts of that. So let's hear the other side of the story, which comes from, I'm just sharing the wrong piece there, which comes obviously from Clayton McMillan and also Sam Kane on their thoughts of it. And again, this is an edited bit of their interview. The whole thing is available over on New Zealand Sport Radio.
Just in about 8 minutes, why do you think you were quite able to get over the line tonight?
Good Brumby side who sort of strangled us with their kicking game. At times we dealt with it pretty well, but it was just so relentless and accurate. It was probably the best box kicking display I've seen for a long time. There was just so much snow on it when you catch it. There's somebody on you straight away under pressure at that breakdown. You just don't give any ability to play off that. They were more accurate for larger portions of the game. Otherwise, I thought it was a fairly even contest. We had our moments.
Yeah, Sam, you certainly never out at all in that 80 minutes, but a few errors, I suppose, crept in that second half. Would it be fair to say just a little bit of inconsistency?
Yeah, I think. In this kind of like pretty much any footy, but like we're really seeing, if you look back where tries come from, where the source of the ball comes from, often it's from one team's errors, and we had too many sort of forcing offloads. It was a really greasy pull out there tonight. We forced a little bit too much. Some passing was inaccurate, and because of the pressure they were putting us under from the kicking game, when we tried to play a little bit too much rugby inside our own half, they were able to either force those errors or win a penalty, and it was pretty, we use the word clinical, it was pretty clinical from them. I was pretty proud of the way that we, rugby is just about winning the next moment, and you're never out of it as long as you just focus on what you can control next, and we felt there was a real lift in the team after Peter Gus scored off the back of that line out, and we were starting to find bends, and they were just sort of hanging in there. But then again, they were able to win a penalty from our ball and get down and score a penalty off that. Yeah, they just managed to keep the scoreboard ticking over, and they were good.
So yeah, you can see Sam talking about there keeping the scoreboard ticking over, which I think is that game management, the right choice of right time to take the 3 points rather than go for the corner. And really, really mature game management by that Brumbies team. So I think they're going very, very well. Pardon me. I mean, the Chiefs did look good in the second half where they kept ball in hand. Unfortunately, far too many passes hit the grass. 16 turnovers turned out by the Chiefs in this one. It's only 7 by the Brumbies. That was the key stat that jumped out at me. And the thing that I saw about all those passes hitting the grass, the reviewer says in the live chat on YouTube that's the most points the Brumbies have scored in New Zealand since 2002. So, yes, the Brumbies team is the real deal. They're heading in the right direction. Obviously, 2 massive games coming up in the next 2 weeks against the Crusaders, then against the Blues. The Crusaders on their 4th game on the road. A bit of a tough schedule for the Crusaders. We're in Western Australia up against the Force, and we'll talk about that one later. But yeah, a cracking performance by, we'll actually talk about that next, by the Brumbies. Really, anyone who doubted that from just the Australian games, well, boy, oh boy, we know they're definitely in it now. So, yeah, the Brumbies really proving us how good they are. And they're not just that line-out maul kick to the corner team that we've seen before. But in that second half, only 29% of the territory. And yet they scored two tries and knocked over a couple of penalties as well, which is the same as the Chiefs did. They only scored two tries in that second half, but didn't knock over any penalties. And you can see just how well they have done on that in that half, how they managed the game. Moving on then to the Force versus the Crusaders. This one was, what, 15-53. Look, the Force, I guess, were competitive for the first 40-odd minutes, weren't they? 18-8 at half-time. Pull it back to 15-18 just after half-time, so within 3 points. But then, boy, oh boy, did it blow out after that. Hat-tricks in the first half for Lesa Vainuku and in the second half for Will Jordan. So that's three hat-tricks now for the weekend. And again, the Crusaders, what they scored, five tries in that second half with only 38% territory. Clearly, they were, whenever they got into the Force's territory, they finished things off. You don't need lots of territory, lots of time, ball in hand, if you score off a couple of phases. It's only if you have to go through 16, 17 phases that you have to have that territory and possession to get the points. So, yeah, the Force had more possession, more territory in this game, but just didn't do anywhere nearly as much with it. Again, I talked about some meters per carry for the Blues game. In this one, the Force, nearly 300 meters carrying 114 runs. The Crusaders, nearly 550, so about 150 meters more carrying with 105 runs, 10 less runs. Again, shows you that they were much more effective. The Crusaders also pass the ball less as well. So it's not attacking free-flowing rugby does not necessarily mean more passes. It's about putting players into space, which the Crusaders clearly managed to do very, very well. No cards in this one. Way! Well done, guys. Both teams managed to actually maintain their discipline. Brilliant. So good to see that happening this weekend. I don't have much more to say about that. Yet Crusaders bounce back from the surprise loss to the Waratahs and thump the Force. I think pretty much what we really were expecting to happen. Again, I guess the only difference, anything might be a surprise, they didn't pull away either side of half time. They waited until 40 odd minutes or 50 odd minutes before doing that. But some when they did, boy oh boy, did they rip the Force to pieces. The final game then was the Hurricanes versus the Drua. I did worry about the Drua coming into this one off the back of playing that game in Suva, where I thought that they would find it hard to get up for this game as well. Emotionally, that game, I think, would take a lot away from this team. Boy, oh boy, did the Hurricanes do a job on them. The Drua didn't score until the 67th minute. Obviously, the game was well gone by then. A hat-trick for Josh Morby, so the fourth hat-trick of the weekend. I thought hat-tricks are supposed to be rare to come by, but there you go. One yellow card for the Hurricanes. This one, I can't remember which that yellow card, but 12 clean breaks to just one. 59% possession, 76% territory. Yeah, look, the Hurricanes If you want to beat the Hurricanes and cause them problems, you keep it tight, you take it up, you take them on up front. That's not the Fiji and Drua side, is it? Fiji and Drua side. Fiji and Drua are about spinning it wide. It's exactly the way the Hurricanes want to play. 18 turnovers by the Fiji and Drua. If you're going to give that many broken field opportunities to the Hurricanes, you're going to get hurt. And boy, oh boy, did they get hurt. Interesting to see Owen Franks back. One of those, one of those experienced players I was talking about earlier who's come back. I say few and far between. He came off the bench to get some game time in this one. Congratulations to the Hurricanes. I'm not sure we learned much from this one, except Josh Morby is a promising young player, playing very well. The Hurricanes, if you give them time and space, will score fantastic tries. And boy, oh boy, they did. So three blowouts in this one. The Tars up against Moana and the Brumbies up against the Chiefs, getting those two kind of Aussie wins from this one. But the Brumbies clearly the one that we're looking forward to next weekend. Then we've got Highlanders versus Western Force, the Brumbies up against the Crusaders. That clearly is the game of the round. So 9:45 p.m. New Zealand time on Friday, that's the game you want to make sure you do not miss. Then, boy oh boy, Fiji and Drua versus Moana Pacifica. This is the clearly the Moana Pacifica will be looking at this one to try and get their second win of the tournament. Similarly for the Fiji and Drua, they will do as well. But as the reviewer says, Moana might be favourites to beat the Drua now. If this was in Auckland, then yes, I'd definitely make them as favourites. As it's over in Australia, boy oh boy, who knows? It's a real coin flip on this one. It should be a fairly even one, but boy oh boy, that's a very, very hard one to pick. Blues then host the Reds, and after the Reds' performance against the Highlanders, that's going to be a tough game for the Reds, let's be honest. The Tars then host the Hurricanes. That'll be an interesting one. And then finally, on Sunday, the Rebels up against the Chiefs, 4 p.m. New Zealand time for that one. Chiefs come off the back of that loss to the Brumbies. They will know that they really do need a win at the moment because, guess what? The Chiefs and the Waratahs are on the same number of points, both on 32 points on the table. Wow, who would have expected that at the beginning of the season? Waratahs with 7 wins so far this season, 0 last year. I'd say most improved team there. So the Chiefs know that it's important for them to get a win. Otherwise, the Hurricanes or the Waratahs or the Reds will be breathing down their neck and trying to steal or try and take away that home quarterfinal, which is going to be all important. Well, actually, perhaps the quarterfinal won't be, but I mean, it's fourth versus fifth. So yes, that quarterfinal will be important. That home advantage there will be important. The Chiefs will know now, 11 points behind the Brumbies, with 3 games to go, that the chance at home semi-final is definitely slipping through their fingers or slipping out of their grasp at the moment on that one. Simon says he hopes the Drua beat Moana for the Pacific Derby. Clearly, I know the Moana team better than the Drua team, as I've been up, been to most of their games and covering them and doing interviews with them. I will go the other way, but we'll see how that one actually pans out. And don't forget to check out some, I'll be putting my predictions for the next round in the patreon.com/NZSportRadio, and also letting you know how I'm going up against the TAB with my picks. It was a bit of an interesting round from a stats point of view. I've been tracking 2 stats in particular this season. That being the number of scrums in a game and also the number of turnovers in a game. Now, the reason behind that was, my theory was that as teams play more, we should see the number of scrums come down as their as rustiness, the connectivity between players, etc., should improve. And I thought turnovers would do the same sort of thing as well. So having a look at that, then what we can see with 12, an average of 12 scrums per game in this last round, that was the lowest equal with round 9 there. So a good round for well, a lack of knock-ons and looking on that side of things. Over on the number of turnovers, only just under 24 there. So the lowest number of turnovers in a weekend. Some of the numbers jump out. I mean, the Brumbies only got 7 turnovers, only conceded 7 turnovers, whereas the Drua, they're conceded 18 turnovers to the Hurricanes. Again, on the scrum side of things, maybe a handling thing. The Drua only got 4 scrums. The Highlanders only got 4 scrums. So good handling by the Reds and the Hurricanes there. 10 for the Waratahs, 10 for the Crusaders. Perhaps not such good handling from the Force and Moana in that one there. So, yeah, I don't know, 2 stats I decided to keep track of per game during the season. Has it the number of scrums hasn't come down as consistently as I was expecting. Look, we had 17 last weekend there in round 11. An average 17 per game, as we did in round 8. So it definitely goes back up again, and we'll be interested to see what happens next weekend as to how that changes. In the live chat, Simon says, Moana Pacifica are not a real Pacific Island team. It's a New Zealand-owned team going and taking New Zealand taxpayers' dollars for Department of Foreign Affairs. Look, the players on there are supposedly making themselves eligible for Tonga, Samoa, or the Cook Islands, not for New Zealand. So from that point of view, it is a Pacific team. Sure, the majority of the players nearly all the players are New Zealand-based, and all the games have been in New Zealand. I'm not sure how much of the late nature of them getting their contract and COVID regulations has been part of that. Hopefully we will see them play over in Samoa and Tonga in coming years, and hopefully be part of the development pathways for Samoa and Tonga rugby team, national teams as well. So hopefully they work with them and also the Cook Islands for that matter. Simon did ask a question about the possibility of Bay of Plenty taking some of their games to a different location. I've gone and lost where that question was, Simon. So I've gotten the location, but I had a very quick look on Google Maps during the interviews that we were. Whakatane is the location he was talking about. A quick look on Google Maps at Whakatane's rugby ground, because I've not been there to see a game myself, but looking at it, look, there's 2 covered stands. So yeah, clearly, with a bit of extra temporary seating, there's no reason why, or even without extra temporary seating, there's no reason why a NPC game couldn't be held there. It's obviously, I say, it's a bit. I've not been there. I don't know from that point of view. So maybe Whakatane could be a place that they could host. They could take some games, would be a good idea to get around the province a bit more. Bay of Plenty is a large province, let's be honest. Science says, broadcasting would be an issue. Absolutely, it would be on that. But we'll see. It looks like the ground could do it. You can always put temporary things in. It's just a matter of money and effort. How much people want something like that to actually happen, who are the decision makers, not just the fans, let's be honest. There we go, folks. That's the Driving Moore show for this week. Next week, hopefully, I'll have some help on the show, and my throat will be getting quite so dry and quite so sore by the 45-minute mark. It's a long time to talk on your own. But I'll be applying for my media pass for the Pacific Fours, for the Black Ferns games and the other international games in that one. Over the next week. So I'll hopefully have some good news. I've actually been accepted for next week on that one. Hope you all have a fantastic week. I said this last weekend, just so you know, I was videoing the Waihi Bees versus Cobras Bees, Cobras from Te Aroha. I mispronounce that all the time. I'm very sorry. And also Waihi A's against Waihu. The Bees, 19-all, cracking game, must say. The Waihi A's against Waihu, not so good. A big loss on that side of things. Unfortunately, 30-something to 15, I think it was. Some very dusty grounds there. Let's hope the players didn't get too scratched up. Next weekend, I've got my daughters in there, so I'll see whether I can get out some club rugby and do some videoing. One of the players at the weekend did get 50 caps. So if you want to see my chat with him in the changing sheds afterwards, then you can catch that on our Facebook page, NZ Sport or New Zealand Sport Radio. Stephen Harris also got around and was at Grammar Tech, and he has a chat with after the men's senior game with coaches and players, but he's also put some chats in there with the ladies from the ladies game that also took part. Amazing what the ladies up in Auckland are being asked to do. They had a midweek game, like a Tuesday night game, and then a weekend game. Hat tip to all the women who are playing up in Auckland, because boy oh boy, you're being asked to play a lot of games in a short amount of time, which is really tough, and let's be honest. He also has a little bit of a tour around the Grammar Tech club rooms, have a look at the All Blacks jerseys that have been donated to them from their ex-players or the club players, also has a look at some international jerseys and has a chat with them. I can't remember the chairman or one of the organisers of the club about how the club is going. So check all of that out on the New Zealand Sport Radio Facebook page. Have a great week. Don't forget, on Wednesday night, we have got the standoff show where there's a bit of fish food going to be on offer as the Warriors lost to the Sharks. That's a NRL show, 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. Obviously, Driving Moore will be back at 8 p.m. on Monday night next week. Have a great week, folks, and stay safe.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.